It's important for us to understand why the names are mentioned, because all those are clues to dig deeper into the scripture. Well, we are not teaching chapter 3 yet. Let's go on chapter 4. We're just doing the outline. And that's we will do it, okay, afterwards. Chapter 4. He mentions a lot of very nice people whom he has come to know, who has encouraged him, stood with him all those years. And in chapter 4, verse 10, he mentioned one name, and in verse 14 another. In verse 10 he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. So the two names mentioned, Demas looks like a believer. Alexander the coppersmith looks like an unbeliever. He looks more like an unbeliever. He sounds like the Demetrius in the book of Acts chapter 19, right? In the book of Ephesians. Sounds like the same guy. But it's a different person. Demetrius was a different type of smith from him. He's a coppersmith here. But he went against Paul, did much harm to him, and Paul just surrendered him to the Lord. So in each one of those four chapters, there is a common factor of mentioning different groups of people. Surely it cannot be a coincidence. The Holy Spirit doesn't do something by accident. Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When he included those names signify part of those things that he's talking about positively in the opposite sense as from these. So let's look at some of those teachings now in chapter 1, as you have seen the outline and the growth. In chapter 1, we see Timothy as a son. He has been founded in chapter 1, and all those principles Paul emphasizes, founded and been founded in a ministry. Now he's talking about the movement in the ministry, or the expansion or growth in the ministry. And in every ministry that we have, we always start as a son. We start as a son. We do not start as a baby. That's an important fact. For baby Christians are not really equipped for ministry yet. So the starting point is as a son. When Paul chose Timothy to follow him in Acts chapter 16, he saw that Timothy was already successful as a Christian. I have one very close pastor friend who specializes in ministering to drug addicts. And one day when I was fellowshipping with him, I asked him, because we came across one case where there was this former drug addict, and he was delivered, and he has been in the ministry some years, quite successful, and sees vision, operate in the gifts of the Spirit to a certain extent, but at a certain point in his life, he fell back, and he backslid, and now he's back in drugs. And I was speaking to him, and since that was his experience, I want to hear what he says about that kind of case. And I said to him, I said, Pastor, what do you think is the problem with this person? And I named this person, and he knew who he was. And he said, well, having dealt with mainly specializing in drug rehabilitation, he says, some of these people who came from that background, not all of them, some of them today are very successful in the ministry. They do not differentiate between Christian life and Christian ministry. So the moment they are delivered, they go straight into the ministry. And they start functioning. To them, ministry and Christian life are one. Therefore, when they have a setback in the ministry, they take it as a setback in their Christian life. And they don't just quit the ministry, they also quit the Christian life. They don't differentiate between the Christian life and the Christian ministry. Now I do know some good friends and who were formerly in the ministry, but they're not in the ministry for some reason, but they're still good Christians. So not all of them did the same thing like this other person. And what he said has great truth. See, this person had a setback in the ministry, but that he didn't realize that a setback in the ministry should never be a setback in your Christian life. He is still your Savior. There is only one way, one truth, and one life. There is either in eternity, heaven or hell. We can never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He who died on the cross for us. Whatever your disappointments are in the ministry, He is still your Lord and your Savior. And they did not differentiate that. And that's why the launching point for any ministry. Now, God may give gifts to baby Christians. They will always have to be supervised. For babies will make mistakes. And yet many pastors make the mistake. When they see a gift functioning, they don't realize, like in 1 Timothy, that the basis of recognition of a gift as a ministry, you can recognize it as a gift, but recognizing it as a ministry is the character formation. And so when someone is very good at soul winning, but their characters are not formed yet, their gift is already operating, and instead of putting them to work under somebody more mature, they let them take over and head the ministry, lo and behold, they're going to fall. We never establish a ministry based on gifts. Nowhere in the Bible is the qualification of leadership gifts. Neither in 1 Timothy nor in Titus. The qualification is always character. So that's the starting point for a ministry. God definitely will give gifts. The Corinthians received gifts and Paul called them babies. The gifts need to be operated under supervision. And pastors have tended to make the mistake that when a person is gifted, put them in a position. And some pastors use that trick because somewhere, someplace, in a church go seminar, they hear that one of the keys to keeping people is give them jobs. But you know, every truth has to be taken in context. And so they begin to apply it overzealously out of context. Every truth is in context. And if you take any truth out of context, it becomes an error. And so, when a person has come freshly through the church 4 or 5 times or just a few months, and without checking on their character and knowing them in their heart or hearts and their character, they say, could you be in charge of this? That person, they hardly knew that person, and they did that, giving positions to keep the person. That's not God's way. Misapplication of a good truth. The starting point for any ministry is Psalms. There are 3 stages. Babyhood, sonship, that is adulthood, or fatherhood. The starting point is a son. It says to Timothy, my beloved son. And there are some principles that he brought forth in the establishment of the sonship here and in a person's ministry going forth. From verse 3 right to verse 7, he reminds Timothy of the faith that he has inherited in that sense from his mother and his grandmother. Now, there is no such thing as salvation by inheritance. God doesn't have grandsons. He only has sons and daughters of God. Your father cannot get saved for you. Each person has to know the Lord personally. But
as the Protestants go to this extreme of truth, where we emphasize each one for himself, we forgot the other truth, that there is such a thing as spiritual impartation and influence. That means, because of my spiritual impartation and influence on my children, it is harder for them to turn aside to sin. It's easier for them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I cannot get saved for them, but through impartation, influence, etc., you make it easier for them to come to know the Lord Jesus. Harder for them to fall off. Otherwise, what's the basis for God saying that those who love Him and obey Him, He will bless them to 1,000 generations? There's no basis then for that, if there's nothing imparted. So what is imparted is not salvation, but what is imparted is the spirit of faith that is there. And it was upon a mother. It was upon a grandmother, it was upon a mother, and it's now on Timothy. So the same thing. Just like in the world, there's a negative thing. People always call it the chip on the shoulder. Like father, like son. So usually it's used in a negative way, sometimes though, positively. But there's a negative aspect. There is a natural truth in that. How much more the spiritual? Have you ever watched closely a family and when they're all grown up, that generally, not always, the sons or the daughters walk like their parents? Each one have a particular... I have been observing people, and especially the family, each one of us got a particular walking style. And I noticed that some of them, like there's a particular family, and they shuffle their feet, you know, and they walk. It's just their style. And I used to stand at the door and welcome people in the church. And so the father shuffles in, right? And before long, there comes the son. And he has two sons. So one of his sons just shuffle a little bit, but still the style is there. And then another son, you know, really exactly like the father shuffles in. I don't know where he learned that. How he can... And you're wondering whether it's hereditary or environment. But it's there. You see the end result. And they shuffle in. And one of these charismatic leaders in Malaysia, and he's a doctor friend. And he has a certain slouch, and he always walks this way. And... his son, who is now a graduate of the university, last time I met him, also developed the same thing. Separated for 10 years, but still the same. It's interesting to see that there is a natural similarity. How much more that there is a spiritual impartation and influence? That when you're brought under a ministry like Paul and Timothy, when you're brought under good parents who read the Bible, who love prayer, that kind of spirit and influence rubs on them in a positive sense. And that, my friends, is the basis for baby dedication. Although in some modern charismatic churches that has gone out of practice, like we take it like a ceremony, like Chinese full moon, right? Just as some celebration. But if we take it seriously, that there can be an impartation and a blessing. The heathens do that all the time by offering their children to the different idols that they worship. Let's not neglect the fact that all truths flow from God. We need to take heart among the charismatic and among most of our independent modern churches who don't have a background or tradition, that although some denominations take it to the extreme
and they move into what you call salvation by works, which is an error in doctrine and theology. But what it actually is, let's be bold enough to examine our old traditions and doctrines with a microscope and a telescope. Let's not just write off something that has been in existence for hundreds and thousand odd years.